Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So let's get into the word of the Lord. I believe that, the atmosphere is the way it is right now, because I believe that the Lord wants to teach, the Holy Spirit wants to teach today. And I know some people are at the NASCAR races and all of that. So the beauty is that you even have space to kind of spread out if you want to, right? I know if you're married, and your spouse wants to knit next to you. But if you want to say, hey, can you scoot down because I need to write some notes or I need to spread out or something like that. But, yeah. And also, if you want to say amen, there's not so many people here that's going to go like this. Amen. So enjoy what I'm saying. Enjoy this atmosphere today. If y'all can just kind of pick up on that. Enjoy this environment and this atmosphere at Purpose Church today. I'm going to do some teaching today. So it may feel like Bible study a little bit, but we're going to go like deep, and then we're going to go deep and deep and deep and deep. Now, for some of you, you might be like, oh, that ain't that deep. But we're going to dive into faith. So we're talking about what are you, so I added God now. So for the last few Sundays, it's been what are you believing for? So what are you believing God for? That's been our question. And I pray that if you have been here for the last few weeks, we've been talking about this for the last few weeks now, that you have spent some time with God to check and see whatever you're believing for, is that from God? Or is that just something that you came up with? So I'm praying that you have created a list and you've checked it. You've prayed and you've asked God, is this thing that I'm connecting my faith to, is it from you, Lord, or is it something that I came up with? I would rather be believing God for something that God has impressed upon my heart than be believing God for something else. Amen?
Amen.
And so we also talked about maybe if there is something that I'm out here believing for and it's not in the will of God, that the Lord is little by little bringing us back to where we need to be in our life. And that's where we are. So what are you believing God for? I'm really excited today. So I'm trying to coast into this and kind of just drift into it. So we've been on this. We've been using Luke 7. We've been using, I told Tremaine, I was like, we're probably going to stay in Luke for a whole year. Like, we started in Luke at the end of last year, talking about the birth of Jesus, and we're only at Luke 7. This is me, because some preachers, it may be different. I am in no rush to run through the Bible.
Amen.
Tony was talking about it in our class, how, reading through the Bible, and every time you read through it, you get something different. So some people that rush through, right? Like, some people, we may be in, like, Luke 14 right now. But the way that the Lord uses me, there is so much meat and potatoes in every verse of Scripture that God just wants to keep unfolding. And that's where we are. If you want to read ahead, you can. We'll catch up to you. But right now, we're in Luke chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 4 right now. And so it says in the Amplified Classic Edition, it says, and when they reached Jesus, so this is talking about the people that went on behalf of the centurion. So the centurion is actually looking for Jesus to be able to heal his bondservant. So it says, when they reached Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying, he is worthy. Who's he? The centurion is worthy that you should do this for him. What? What categorizes whether or not a person is worthy for God to do something for them? Just think about that for a moment. So these are Jewish leaders that's running to Jesus, and this centurion has said, please, paraphrasing this, go find Jesus because I believe that Jesus can heal my bondservant. So they come and they say, they're begging Jesus earnestly, and they're saying, the centurion who sent us is worthy that you should heal his bondservant. What qualifies a person to be worthy for God to do anything for them? Well, let's look at what they say in the next verse. They say, "For he loves our nation, and he built us our synagogues," can I use it in my own word, "out of his own pocket," or "at his own expenses," his own effort. So they are qualifying. They're saying that Jesus, the reason why you should do this for the centurion, and the reason why that centurion is worthy for you to move in his life or in the life of the bondservant, is because he did something. Or he loves a particular group of people. I almost want to ask y'all a question and y'all respond back to me. Does that qualify for God to do something? Just because, let's bring it current day, someone says, let's talk about our church, "I helped build Purpose Church," or "William helped build Purpose Church, so God, you should move in the life of William Guy because he built Purpose Church." It's not good. Because now what I'm trying to do is get God to move based upon my works. So God, I did this for you, or I did this for your people, and that should equate to like $100 or something. It should, according to the currency of the kingdom of God, my works down here should equate for you, God, to do something for me. Can somebody shout this out? If you know the answer to this, I do want to hear this back. What is the currency of the kingdom of God? Come on, say it out loud. I thought I heard somebody over here say it. Faith. So the things that we exchange with God, and this is the work, the good fight of faith. And so the exchange is not, you know, you ever heard this song? I don't know the full, it's a hymn. It says something about, "I'm sending my timber up," or something like that. Anybody? "Sending up my timber," right? And I know they may be talking about something else and everything, but we have to be careful that the mansion that Jesus promised us in heaven, that we're not trying to do good works thinking we're sending up beams and timber and wood and all this kind of stuff so that the Lord can build me this house in heaven. Listen, he don't need our material. Amen. What he needs is our faith. Amen. And so we have to even be careful of how we approach God. "Lord, I'm praying for my dear brother. You know he is such a good person." Come on, I know y'all prayed this before. I know I prayed it. "You know, he serves and he loves his wife and he works hard and he gives to charity. Come on, Lord, I know that you have seen the work that he has done, and I don't understand why this is happening in his life, but based upon everything that he has done for you, Lord, I am praying that you will do this for him." And God is saying, you know, that it's great, it's, you know, that's wonderful, that's wonderful. But the reality is that the what moves me is not the works, it's the faith. Now, the scripture does say faith without works is dead, and we're going to look at that. But we have to be careful when we are asking God to do something for us or for someone else based upon how much work we have done. Do you realize, I know y'all do, but I'm still going to ask you, do you realize that a person could, like this centurion, love and build and still go to hell? Amen? Because if they did not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that qualifies the person to spend eternity in heaven. And it is not my works. It's not my works. And so we have to be careful. But these Jewish leaders, they are literally pleading with Jesus. And the case that they're making for Jesus is the works that the man has done. You know, there's a man named Paul in the Bible, and he says, in comparison to receiving Christ, all this other stuff that I have done is almost like dung compared to the immeasurable relationship that I now have in Christ. So I invite you, if you fall into this category, I invite you to this place. If you have lived your life building up this case before the Lord to try to qualify yourself to receive something from God. Praise the Lord. This may sound weird, but let me give you a round of applause for everything that you've done already. But can I say to you, take all of that, put it on the altar before the Lord and say, that's all great, but I want you. I'd rather do everything that I'm doing in you, through you, and not apart from you. If you are here today, again, I'm inviting you into this little short space right now. If you have lived your life in Christ, just saying, I got to do all of these different things so that the Lord can forgive me, so that the Lord can accept me in heaven, so that the Lord can bless me, so that the Lord can bless my family. Hey, I applaud you for everything that you've done, but I invite you to drop that all at the feet of Jesus and says, now, Lord, I'm really ready to serve you by faith and not just by my works. You know, it reminds me in the book of Job, and it says that Job, he sacrificed every time his kids, every day, Job got up and he would sacrifice unto the Lord just in case his kids, can I put it in my own words, did something crazy or sinned before the Lord. But Job had a heart for God, and the enemy tested him. He took so much away from him. But Job never cursed God to his face. And that's what the enemy wanted him to do. So therefore, Job kept a relationship with God. He could no longer work for God. He had nothing. There was no longer any children for him to sacrifice for. All he could do is trust God. And can I say this? And sometimes in our life, everything that we rely upon sometimes is shaken. And all we have left is God. Because sometimes we are taking all of these different things. Here you go, Lord. Here you go. And the whole time, it's almost like a catcher that's catching the passes. But the whole time, the Lord is looking right at us and saying, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for that, I thank you for that, I thank you for that. But I want you. I appreciate that, I appreciate that, I appreciate that, I appreciate that. But I want you. And so, yes, the Lord is receiving it, right? Whatever it is that I'm doing unto the Lord, but he's still looking at us and saying, but I want you. And if you're in this place and you're throwing things to God because you're afraid of this intimate, close relationship with him, can I challenge you to go there? The Lord wants you. Amen? And in this close relationship, you guys have heard me say this before, then together we do something amazing for the Lord. But don't give God things and not give him yourself. Amen? For he loves our nation and he builds us our synagogue at his own expenses. So God responds to faith and not works alone. So let's dive into this. Let's go a little bit deeper. So we're going to kind of sidestep from Luke 7 and dive into some scriptures. James 2:17 says this. We've looked at this before. So also, faith, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, or dead. And so God is saying, and one of the young people said this. She said, and I'm going to try to paraphrase what she said. She was like, it's believing, but then also doing. And I was like, yes, yes, that's it right there, right? Do you believe God? Yes. And if you read the rest of this, it goes on to say even the demons, even the devil believes that there is a God. So we can't just stop at I believe. What is God leading us to do? And this faith that we have, I'm going to keep bringing this home, it's the God faith is not our faith. Faith. Like sometimes we think that if I pray long enough that I'll have the faith that I need to be able to do the work that God has called me to do. Like the only reason why you're believing God is because God gave you that faith. So you're not standing on your own faith. You're standing on God's faith to believe him to do what it is that he's leading you to do. Amen. That is such a difference. Man, I guess my faith is not where it needs to be. Go back to the one who gave that faith to you. Where'd you find your faith? Amazon? Walmart? Grandmom's house? Where'd you get it? Where did we even get the idea to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Where'd that come from? Because some of us were somewhere else. Where'd that come from? Who gave that to you? And even after we give our life to Jesus Christ, that's the same process. This faith from God, God kind of faith, is not faith that we conjure up. Oh, if you just fast and pray long enough, then you can have the kind of faith that my brother or my sister have. Please, everybody looking at me, stop trying to get someone else's faith. Sister, if you tarry on the altar and you fast and pray and labor for the Lord, and if you sow a big seed, then you'll get the faith that you need to be able to do something. And God is sitting over here saying, all I need is you to just come to me, and then I will lead you to a place of fasting and praying. Then I will lead you to a place of whatever it is that I'm calling you to do. But don't try to get somebody else's faith. You will end up empty because it didn't come from God. It came from another person. Amen? I might just say that again just a little bit slower just to make sure. Don't try to get someone else's faith. Spend time with God and allow God's faith to be birthed in you. Because if you're trying to live by somebody else's faith, you have to sustain that. You've got to keep trying to, and you're keeping your head above the water. And now you're faking it. How are things going? Oh, the Lord is just great. And you know you're struggling. But because you're trying to maintain this level of faith, you're trying to, yeah. And it's like, it's not working. The reason why it's not working, because it didn't come from God. It came from a person. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
I'm telling you. This is not, it's not a vending machine. And sometimes we try to treat these things like it's a vending machine. If you put $100 in there, you're going to get $100 worth of faith and all this stuff. Stop. Stop. Stop it. It's almost like telling a kid, stop it. Stop. Let's go a step deeper, this area of faith. Now, New King James Version, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So then verse 2, 3, 4, and 5 talks about some other things. Verse 6 of that, Hebrews 11, 6. This is so good. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, that he is the great I am, right? And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Amen.
Can I just say this real quick, dealing with the text? If you ever look at a scripture and you see certain words italicized, that means that the person who was translating that from the original version added those words in to make it make sense, right? So you could read it. It doesn't make sense when you read it this way. But without faith, impossible to please, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you see something italicized, the translator is trying to make it make sense. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's go deeper with this one here. I talked about this on Bible study. I'm trying to stay calm right now. I don't know if y'all know, but I love this area of faith. It is so, I hope that y'all are following this. Faith, so the word faith that we are looking at in the New Testament, every time you're seeing this word faith that I'm showing you, it is, you see the Greek word there, it is always a gift from God. See, and this is, so if I work for it, it's not a gift. if I try to conjure up enough faith to do something for God, it's not a gift. That means I just worked for it. That means I paid for it. That means I prayed for it, right? That means whatever it is, I worked for it. But the faith that God gives us to do the things that he has called us to do is always a gift. Amen. Amen. For the believer, for someone that is a believer of Jesus Christ, faith is God's divine persuasion. So this means that God is trying to move us to do something that is in line with his will for our life. And that's the reason why sometimes nobody else can help you when you're in this deep place of faith. And it's kind of like, you know, Tremaine, does it make sense what I'm saying? And she kind of, I'm going to just pray for you. Because that person may not be sensing the persuasion or how God is trying to encourage you to do his will. Somebody said this, when it doesn't make sense, it makes faith. So a lot of times we're trying to step away from faith and we're trying to make sense of it. And we ask this question, the Lord told me or I sent him saying to do this. And we say, does that make sense? And the person's like, is that what he said for you? And he's like, I think so. Well, you go on then. Because they don't know. Unless God reveals it to them. And that's another reason why you got to be careful who you talk to. That don't make no sense. Why would the Lord tell you to go do Yeah, I know. That was kind of crazy, wasn't it? And what I did is just backed up from faith because somebody else didn't understand what God is persuading me to do. Amen. Are you in that area of your life right now where you are sensing God encouraging you to move in a certain direction and here it's not making sense? But deep within you, you're taking baby steps. And you're like Abraham. Go to a place that I'm going to show you. Can you show it to me first? Because if I plug it into Waze, I probably can get there, Lord. And God, who is a spirit, says there is no natural calculation that will get you to where I want you to be. So stop trying to always make sense of what God is persuading you to do. Amen. Just move. Amen. Just move. And as you move, the Lord will show you the next steps. It may be for some people in here. Because the Lord, as I said this before, in Hebrews 11, it talks about how God, Abraham, was prompted on by faith. And the only imagery I could think of is like the Holy Spirit is behind Abraham like a coach. Like, go on, you could keep moving. He's like, well, I don't have no kids yet. How am I going to be the father of many nations? Just keep moving. Keep trusting me. Well, is my servant Eliezer, is he going to be? Just keep moving, Abraham. Well, if I can get my wife Sarah, or if I can get this servant and her, and I, like Sarah told me to do this, is that where the promise going? Abraham, I keep moving. And for some of us, that's the place that we are in right now. And the people around you may not understand it. Don't let people talk you out of God's divine persuasion. Amen. So faith, please get this part, the third one. Faith is birth in the yielded believer by God. God's faith is birth. So it's like, have you ever felt this? There's something going on within me, and I just can't put my finger on it. God just dropped a seed within you. There's something going on, and I can't, and you sound wacky. And so what you got to do is connect with some people that's just going to look you in the eyes and be like, I don't know what it is, but I understand it. Because either I was there, I'm there, or I'm about to be there. There's something going on. There's something moving within me. And I don't know what it is. And that just might be God has birthed his faith in you to do something that's in line with his will. Amen?
Amen.
Woo-wee. Amplified Bible. Hebrews 11:1. Okay, so stay in this area. I told you this is like Bible study. Stay in this area that faith is a gift from God, and it is God's divine persuasion to get us to move and do something in line with his will. So it says, now faith, all right, God's divine persuasion is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for. Can we stop right there for a moment? Where did you even get the hope? Where did you even get the expectation that God will do it? It came from the faith that God birthed in you. So sometimes it's, I just expect God to bless whatever area of my life, bless my marriage or whatever it is. Where did you get that hope? Where did it even come from? So hope comes from faith. If it is the faith of God. Man, I pray that y'all following me. I'm expecting God to do something in my life. Where'd you get that from? And hopefully it came from the faith. So now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things that I'm hoping for, being proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. In other words, faith perceiving as real fact what is not yet revealed to the senses. So I don't see it, but I know it, and I'm believing for it. So if I keep trying to see it, but it's not connected to my hope, which is not connected to God's faith, I'll start shrinking back from it. So I have to keep feeding my expectation, my faith that God has given me. I need to spend more time reading the Gospels, the Word of God, where I see God moving in people's lives, than I watch reality TV. And whatever reality TV is for you, right? Because sometimes my expectation will attach to something that is seen, but the faith that's on the inside of me is connected to something that's not yet seen. Man. Amen? I remember a lot of times it was, Lord, if you can just show me the blueprint, then I can make it happen. Just show me the blueprint. Just show me the blueprint. And every once in a while, God will put you around people. Come on, y'all remember Mary and Elizabeth, right? And when they were pregnant, Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. Mary was pregnant with Jesus. And Elizabeth said, the moment that I heard your voice, the baby in me leaped. And every once in a while, God will put you around people that whatever's going on in their life, whatever they're saying, something will cause what God has birthed in you to leap. And you'll get excited. But if you put your mind on natural things, it will bring you back down. So God says, and this may not be for everybody, but this is, you know, God says, I've called you to preach. And you go, woohoo! And then you start thinking about standing up here. And you're like, nope. And this is an example. Just an example. Because what we see sometimes causes us to shrink back from faith. So sometimes you got to protect what you're seeing. You've got to protect what you're seeing. You got to protect what you are seeing. You have to. And you've got to, some of y'all, you've got to stay at a place of, I just believe you, God. I'm believing you. I'm believing you. I'm believing you. Because if you entertain certain thoughts and certain things, it's going to cause you to shrink back down. And it's that important for some of y'all because you are on the edge of something. And you know you are, but it don't make sense. And no one can explain it to you so that it will make sense. But every time you go into prayer, God connects and you get hope. So guess what we need to keep doing? Stay connected to God. What do you do on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursday? You've got to connect with God. Connecting with God is, you need to, can I put it this way? You need to connect with the father of your baby.
Amen.
Amen? Because if God in birth faith in you, he is the father of whatever it is he is birthing in you. Spend time with the Father. I know sometimes we're like, I ain't spending no time with that Father and all that. It's just going to be just me and my baby. It's just going to be me and my baby. Just me and my baby. No, this is one Father that you need to expose your baby to. You need to spend time with the Father who has in birth faith in you to do something that he has called you to do. You need to go over his house. You need to listen to his music. You need to put your head on his shoulder. You need to tell everybody about your baby's daddy.
Amen.
You need to talk about him. You need to, late nights, you need to be talking on the phone about just stuff. What you doing? Nothing. What you doing? Well, he's probably busy doing a lot of stuff, but God, what you doing? Well, I was just thinking about you today, and I just wanted to talk to you before I went to bed. And sometimes, I don't know if y'all have done this, you fall asleep with that person on the phone, and why don't you just, we were talking about that earlier, why don't we just fall asleep talking to God, right? Oh, man, Lord, you know, it's just so good, and I fell asleep. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry for falling asleep. But what do? And you wake up the next morning, you're like, hey, you still there? And that person's like, yeah, I'm still there, and I'm talking to God in the morning, and on my lunch break, I'm texting with him and all of that. Why don't we treat God like that? Like every time we think about him, I mean, come on, every time we think about whoever you want to call it, your boo, your bae, your wife, your husband, or whatever it is, we send a message or something like that, and we had these holidays where we buy things and we get things. Can we treat our relationship with God even more precious than we treat it with other people because he is the father of your baby? Whatever's on the inside of you that you are believing for, and I pray that you're believing for something.
Amen.
God imbirthed that faith, that belief, that trust. And this is beautiful. It's a win-win. You're persuading me to do it, but you're also the sustainer of the things that I'm going to do. So if I run out of strength, I can come back to you. If I run out of money, I can come back to you. If I run out of affection, I can come back to you. Because the reality is, this baby don't belong to me. It's yours.
Amen.
All I'm doing is carrying it for a season. And maybe for some of us, we have too strong of a grip on what we believe in God for. God showed me this. And we take it, and we name it what we want to name it. We dress it the way we want to dress it. We bring it around people that we want to. Seek the Lord. Seek God. What do you want me to do with what you have me believe in you for, God? How do I raise this thing? How do I take care of it? How do I feed it? What do I need to do, God? With what's stirring in my heart for you. Because all I want to do is bring forth your will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Honor. I just want your kingdom to flow through me, Lord. And the currency of the kingdom, the way that God gets his people to do something on earth, is by releasing his faith to his believers so that they can believe whatever God's kingdom has already orchestrated to happen in the earth. But God says, I need for you to believe. Amen?
Amen.
So my fellow ambassadors, my fellow kingdom ambassadors, what are you believing God for? What is God stirring in your heart? Please, and don't think, if it ain't this big thing, that it's not God. If it's close and personal, you know it's from God, hold on to it and exercise your faith so that God can move through your life. Amen?
Amen.
So Bible study tomorrow night, we'll dig deeper into this. If God has impressed it upon your heart, it exists.
Amen.
If God has impressed it upon your heart, it exists. And it is not your responsibility to go looking for it. It is your responsibility to believe for it.
Amen.
Whatever that is, y'all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.